Chapter 20. In the morning she brought her Bible to him. "Hey, hey," protested Sean. "I've already sworn one oath." Katrina laughed at him, the memory of the night still warm and happy inside her. She opened the book at its flyleaf. "You've got to write your name in it. Here, next to mine." She watched him, standing next to his chair, with her hip touching his shoulder. "And your date of birth," she said. Sean wrote, 9th January 1862. Then he said, "What's this, date of death? Do you want me to fill that in as well?"
"Don't talk like that," she said quickly,
and touched the wooden table. Sean was sorry he'd said it. He tried to cover up. "There's only space for 6 children.
We can write the others in the margin. That's what Ma did. Hers even go over onto the first page of Genesis. Do you think we'll get that far, Sean?"
Sean smiled at her. "The way I feel now, we should reach the New Testament without any trouble." They'd made a good start. By June, the rains were over, and Katrina walked with her shoulders back to balance her load. There was a good feeling in the camp. Katrina was more woman than child now. She was big and radiant, pleased with the awe her condition inspired in Sean. She sang to herself often, and sometimes in the night she would let him share in it. She would let him pull the nightdress back from the mound of her stomach and lay his ear against the tight-stretched blue-veined skin. He listened to the suck and gurgle and felt the movement under his cheek. When he sat up, his eyes would be full of wonder of it, and she would smile proudly and take his head on her shoulder, and they'd lie together quietly. In the daytime, things were right as well. Sean laughed with the servants and hunted without the intensity of before. They moved north along the Sabi River. Sometimes they camped for a month at one place. The game came back to the rivers as the veldt dried out, and once more the ivory started piling up in the wagons. One afternoon in September, Sean and Katrina left the camp and walked along the bank. The land was brown again and smelt of dry grass. The river was pools and white sand.
"Hell, it's hot!"
Sean took off his hat and wiped the sweat off his forehead. "You must be cooking under all those clothes."
"No, I'm all right."
Katrina was holding his arm. "Let's have a swim."
"You mean with no clothes on?"
Katrina looked shocked.
"Yes, why not?" "It's rude."
"Come on." He took her down the bank, protesting every step. And at a place where boulders screened the water, he prized her out of her dress. She was laughing and gasping and blushing all at the same time. He carried her into the pool, and she sat down thankfully with the water up to her chin.
"How's that feel?" Sean asked.
She let her hair down, and it floated out round her. She wriggled her toes in the sand, and her stomach showed through the water like the back of a white whale.
"It's nice," she admitted. "It feels like silk underwear against my skin."
Sean stood over her with only his hat on. She looked at him.
"Sit down," she said uncomfortably, and looked away from him.
"Why?" he asked.
"You know why. You're rude, that's why."
Sean sat down beside her. "You should be used to me by now."
"Well, I'm not."
Sean put his arm around her under the water. "You're lovely," he said. "You're my fancy." She let him kiss her ear. "What's it going to be?" He touched the ripe swelling. "Boy or girl?" This was currently the favourite topic of conversation.
"Boy."
She was very definite. "What shall we call him?"
"Well, if you don't find a predicant soon, we'll have to call him the name you're always giving to the servants." Sean stared at her.
What do you mean?
You know what you call them when you're cross?
Bastard, said Sean, then really concerned.
Hell, I hadn't thought of that.
We'll have to find a priest. No child of mine will be a bastard. We'll have to go back to Louis Trichardt.
You've got about a month, Katrina warned him.
My God, we'll never make it. We've left it too late.
Sean's face was ghastly.
Wait, I've got it. There are Portuguese settlements across the mountains on the coast.
Oh, Sean, but they're Roman Catholics.
They all work for the same boss.
How long will it take to cross the mountains? Katrina asked doubtfully.
I don't know. Perhaps 2 weeks to reach the coast on horseback.
On horseback?
Katrina looked still more doubtful.
Oh, hell, you can't ride.
Sean scratched the side of his nose. I'll have to go and fetch one.
Will you stay on your own? I'll leave Ember Jenny to look after you.
Yes, I'll be all right.
I won't go if you don't want me to. It's not that important.
It is important. You know it is.
I'll be all right. Truly I will.
Before he left the next morning, Sean took Ember Jenny aside.
You know why you're not coming with me, don't you?
Ember Jenny nodded.
But Sean answered his own question.
Because there is more important work for you to do here.
At night, said Ember Jenny, I will sleep beneath the Nkosikasi's wagon.
You'll sleep? Asked Sean threateningly.
Only once in a while, and then very lightly.
Ember Jenny grinned.
That's better, said Sean.